thank you so much today for worship. It was just so rich for me in your presence. So pray, God, that you just bless the word and the time that we have together. For the remaining of our service here, we just thank you for your presence. It is so good. Nothing compares to your presence. Nothing. Thank you, Dad.
Okay. So, let's put it this way. Throughout this whole going to Bethel journey, I have needed a lot of money. And it was quite a big struggle just getting together money for the deposit for the house that I'll be staying at and such, because I have six other roommates. We had seven, but now we have six. And actually one of the things that I like, every time it would come down to, you know, we were past the due date for things, money-wise and whatnot, I would just start singing, I see you move the mountains, you know, that part of the song, and that's really what I used to stand on, throughout this whole thing. Trying to get my thoughts together. I had like barely any sleep. Well, it came around time to pay the first installment of rent, because the way that the lease works, we pay it in two installments. So I had quite a bit of money to owe that I owed. And so it came down to past the due date, everything. I think I had $150 that some anonymous person had given me, and that's all that I had, and I owed, I think, $1,300. So it came down to it. I already owed the late fee, and I asked God, "Well, what do you want me to do?" Because I've been standing in faith, standing on Scripture. You know, I asked Him, you know, what else do you want me to do? You know, what can I do to partner with you? And I didn't want to at all. Like, I really did not want to. But He placed it on my heart, and I had a great peace about it, even though I didn't want to. I still had a peace to go and ask this person to help me with paying the rent and whatnot. And I had to ask God for forgiveness, because I told Him, like, I apologize. You know, this, I had been expecting either to do it all by myself, to be able to pay it all by myself, or for it to just appear out of thin air, instead of just letting God do His thing. You know, that's what I had been expecting and whatnot. So, you know, I just apologized, and I had to, let's just say, I had a lot of pride to deal with. So I humbled myself, and I went and I asked that person. And it was kind of iffy at first. I was just kind of, you know, they voiced some concerns that they have, like, you know, what if I get out there and Bethel doesn't exist, and, you know, stuff like that. it was funny, but I understood their heart. You know, they just wanted me to be safe, and they didn't want me to be devastated when I get out there. So, you know, it just kind of started going along like they were going to say no, basically. And, you know, I was content with that, because I told God, like, I'm okay if it's yes, no, maybe, whatever. they covered the remaining amount of rent. And it's just amazing to me, because my heart is to be able to give people, like, if I had the money and I found somebody in the same situation, I'd pay it. And so it was interesting to be in the position where somebody was like, you know, I just want to help you and I just want to give, you know, don't worry about paying me back. I just want you to walk in the calling on your life. And so that's my testimony. And, you know, God might have not provided in the ways that I had been expecting or in the times that I was expecting it, but he's provided this whole time. Amen. And, you know, there's still some stuff to get over. We're getting down to the last minute, and there's stuff that we need, you know, travel expenses, all kinds of stuff, but he's provided this far, and I just keep looking back at all that he's done. And I remember it started, at least this part started last year when I had wanted to go to Cultivate Revival, and I think it was a Wednesday night prayer thing or whatever, and I had just voiced that my family and I, we were having financial issues, and a person gave me $100, and my family let me put that towards the thingy, the payment for to be able to attend Cultivate Revival. And from there, it was just kind of like, ever since then. I love you, Benjamin. But yeah, God will always provide.
All right. We want to receive our morning's financial blessings, and let's pray together. Father God, as we come to the point of our service that we pay our tithes and bring our offerings before you, we confess that you are the only God. You are our salvation and our reason for being. You are the Alpha and the Omega, our healer, our provider, and our everlasting victory. We bring our tithes and offerings with a joyful, willing, and obedient heart. We are fully expecting you to throw open the windows of heaven and to pour out a spiritual and financial blessing so great that we will scarcely be able to contain it. We thank you that as we give, it will be given into our bosom, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. We ask that you grant us wisdom to use these funds effectively to minister to our community, winning souls, making disciples, and ever expanding the kingdom of God from Lake City, Live Oak, White Springs, Fort White, Lulu, into all of Florida and into the othermost parts of the earth. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, brother. I appreciate you doing that. Thank you guys for giving. God is good. We do have, obviously, next Saturday, the Korean team will be this Wednesday at Christ Central, and then they will be here with us Saturday the 19th, dinner at 6:45, is that right? Where did Earl go? Oh, he's back with the kids. 5:30, I see it now. 5:30 to 6:30, and then we'll just clean up real quick and start at 6:30, and then of course the regular time here on Sunday morning at 10:30. Come and be prepared to be blessed. These guys are going to bless you. We will have a prayer time for anyone that would like to receive prayer from them. I believe in that. I believe there's something about the way they can bless you with what's going on in their life. And you will not regret getting prayer from them from that standpoint. So I think that's what we have. We had a great men's meeting. It was well attended. We loved the ribs. We had a good time praying for one another. And the prophetic even started last night as we were praying for one another, and it was just a great time. Any other announcement, Annette? Do you have anything that needs to be said? Or okay, let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Today we're going to talk about practical righteousness, Last week we talked about imputed righteousness, and the Lord, of course, it's public knowledge. Teresa really got touched afterwards. We stayed late and just had a chance to minister. It's just, I watch how the Lord touched her, and how I just watch. I love that kind of stuff. It's good. All right, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, which will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. And then he goes on and talks about praying for him as well. We talked about the breastplate of righteousness last week, and apologize for going a little long. Got over anointed, I guess. But in my due defense, we did have an extended testimony time. So. Last week, we talked about the breastplate of righteousness, and it's our ability to stand in what Christ has done for us through the cross and through the resurrection. This is where the identity comes from. In any area of our lives, if it's not grounded in the righteousness of Christ, then you'll find yourself in some kind of performance mentality. How many of you know that the thing about a performing mentality is, you never know when it's enough. You never know where the limit is. And you never know if someone will move it up. There you are. So it's just you're always in limbo. You're always in a state of chaos. What piggybacks on that is that you never knowing that you're measuring up, and it's this rejection thing that gets on you. And if any of you have ever been plagued by a mindset or spirit of rejection, you know firsthand that it is a cruel taskmaster. It will just beat you down and beat you down and beat you down. And I had to walk that out personally in my life. I had to walk that out for a number of years. I mean, probably over a decade. I had to walk that out. The way that I learned how to walk it out wasn't a pleasant way. I wouldn't wish it on anybody, but I learned that the essence of who I am is grounded in what Christ has done for me on the cross and through the resurrection. That's it. There's nothing else that you can hang your hat on that will bring you security, that will bring you confidence, and that will let you know that you are always loved, whether you mess up or not. Because probably we've all messed up even after we were born again. And so this is why it's so important. Theologically, it's called imputed righteousness. In other words, if you remember, it's all that Christ did for us. He took our sins and he gave us his righteousness. He put it into our bank accounts, all right? And so what I'll talk about tonight, or rather today, is what I call practical righteousness. And practical righteousness means dipping into the bank account and using what he's given you. Experimenting with it. Allowing the Spirit of God to teach you about certain things in your life. Now, I'm of the, another theological word would be sanctification. I'm of the point of view that everything that God has done for us, he's already done. Some people teach sanctification that it's just, God will reach in just a little bit and give you just a little bit and see what you're going to do with it and wait. And then if you do something that he likes, he gives you a little bit more. My personal conviction, which you'll see from the Word of God today, is that he gives it all. It's all there. It's not one of those things. He's not He's also not an Indian giver. If you goof up, he says, well, I knew you were going to do that. Give me that back. And when you grow up and you get better, I'm going to give it back to you. He's not that way. So that this whole area of practical righteousness is filled with discovery. We discover more and more about who he is and this rightness, this right relationship with him that we have. So we have these aha moments or these epiphanies that come to us that causes us to bow down in worship, causes us to thank him more for his goodness and mercy. Nancy and I, we went through crazy stuff with Dusty and other things in our family. And it was a season of, dear God, I hope this passes soon. It was one of those seasons. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I'm sure you've all had those seasons. And it's like we're just, every week it's just like something else happened. I mean, we're getting good news from Jason and how, you know, his plans to, you know, basically buy into this Zaxby's and own Zaxby's and how the big dogs, I mean the big dogs, the guy that, Mr. Zaxby's, you know, and his inner circle got a wind of who he is and they're literally creating a position for him. It's kind of, lay hands on me, man. Come on, you know. And Dusty, you know, just starts on the 14th. Is it Monday? Is Monday the 14th? He starts his new job on the 14th making mega bucks. I mean, it's just like, yeah, come pray for me now, you know. Glory to God. We stood with you. We rebuked death over you. I looked at him and said, be sure and tithe. You know, so, no, anyhow. And we're just seeing these blessings. Just we're in a season where we feel overwhelmed. We went through a season of, dear God, help us. And now we're in a season of, dear Lord, you're just blowing our socks off here with all these things that how you're blessing us. And it's not just that. I mean, their relationship with God is getting better and all kind of good stuff that's going on. And so it's kind of like we're dipping into the bank account. And we didn't know it, but the stuff that we needed was always there. But now we're in a position where we know we can dip into it. Do you understand Paul's prayers now? You know, he has them in Colossians, has them in Ephesians and a couple other places, where he's always saying, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. Well, let me put it simply. I think the reason why he's playing that, he's basically saying this. I pray that you see the balance of your account and that it's full. It's more than you could possibly spend on your own because it's based in eternity. So we begin to get this revelation knowledge from that. There's two things that come out of imputed righteousness. Number one is acceptance. You come away with a deep-seated conviction that hell and death and hateful people or good people can never take away from you. And that is, you know God accepts you. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you say. You can't work for it. He just accepts you. Because it says that. And the second thing is freedom. Freedom. You experience a level of freedom because your sins are gone. And so you're constantly discovering what this righteousness is about. I was reading one commentary about the righteousness of Christ, and it's all about being rightness, the rightness of being related to God. So that now we have this ability to communicate with the King of the universe that made everything, that loves us, and the intent of his heart is our good always. And so as that gets bigger and bigger and bigger, so there's acceptance and there's freedom. Ephesians 1:3, I read it last week. Blessed, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And in 2 Peter 1:3, he says this, as his divine power has given to us all things pertaining to life and godliness. Sometimes we need to go back to these scriptures and just kind of muse on those things. Everything that I need for life, he's given to me. The bank account is full. No matter how much you pull on it, it is always full. Because we're on this side of the Jordan are mortal and we are temporal. But on the other side of the Jordan, it is eternal and immortal. And so the eternal comes through, transitions through time and space, and deposits into our life all of this eternity. And so that's why through your life, and you better be asking yourself, am I having those discoveries? Am I having those, wow, those moments in my life with God where I just go, man, that's different. I haven't thought about that before. We were saying some last night. We were praying for one another, and I told Nancy this. Sometimes you just have to make declarations about things. I keep a file of prophetic words. The ones that ministers to me. The other ones I just kind of let fly around somewhere. But in other words, I just throw them out the door. But the ones that really, I've kept this file for decades. And I cannot tell you how many people have told me that didn't know me. Before I started getting my education, there are books in you. And I thought, first time I heard that, I thought, I flunked English twice, and you're telling me, are you crazy? You know, but God, and you know why God keeps telling you something over and over again? You know why he does that? Because you're bullheaded. That's why he does it, you know. And so over time, and I think I was telling the guys last night, you know, when I went to Fuller, every class had a 20-page paper. Every class. And when you take three per, we did quarters back then. When you take three per quarter, that's 60 pages. That's a half a book. Because most chapters are, you know, 15 to 20 pages. And so I realized as I went home one time to Nancy back during the day, and I said, you know, I used to think it was impossible to write a book, but now I think I can write a book. You know, because if, instead of seeing this massive project, if you just see it as, it's just 20 pages, all I'm writing. And then you put all those 20 pages together, eventually you have a book. And so I just began to declare, I told you a couple of weeks ago, right, that I've been praying I want to be rich. Y'all remember that? Did I not tell you? I told you I want to be rich. And I never said it publicly because I thought it was selfish. And it sounds egotistical and, you know, all this other kind of stuff. And Jason Chen came out and he said, I prayed for years to be rich. And now he's a millionaire. And he got it off his book, Crazy Love, and the little video lessons that came with it. They sold white hotcakes. He's a millionaire. And the reason why he wanted to have money was so that he could do what he felt like God had called him to do, which is to win souls and make disciples in such a way where the disciples really begin to make disciples. And he was a mega church, 5,000 people. He'd go, you know, he said, it just got into where I'd get in my car, drive to church, teach all day, and then get in my car and drive home. And he said, I realized I wasn't doing what God called me to do. So he was able to walk away from it and not have to be concerned about paying his mortgage. And when I heard that, I thought, I'm not a heretic. You know, he's a good guy. I'm with him. And so I just believe. I'll tell you now. I'll go ahead and say it so I can, you can either, years later, you can look, walk up to me and laugh, or maybe walk up to me and say, will you please pray for me? But I just declare that through the things that I'm going to be writing in the next decade, it's going to generate millions. You watch it. That's what I believe. So we'll see what happens. I'm going to pull on the account that's there. Do you remember Matthew 25? That the guys that prospered used what they had. And the one that didn't dug a hole. And Jesus called him a wicked, evil guy. So it kind of puts the fear of the Lord in you. The divine exchange. I've already said all that. I'm not going to go through all of that. Now go with me this morning to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. since we have been born again, what effect is that having upon us? Since we have been born again, what is the fruit of my life that bears witness to the acceptance and to the freedom for which Christ has set me free? Those are questions that we need to ask ourselves. I think I wrote another one. How is my life as a son of God, or if you're a lady, a daughter of God, expressed to the world around me? All right, so let's read this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we'll verse 13. Paul says this, "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren beloved by God, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation." Now get this, what does it say? "Through sanctification by the truth, by the Spirit, and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then he goes on and he says them, tells them to be steadfast. There's two things that he says here. Number one, he talks about the gospel, which is about forgiveness of our sins and where our bank accounts is full. Then look what he puts on it. He says that salvation through what? The sanctification of the Spirit. Now, this is one of the reasons why in the past I've always said that one of the, and if I can use this in a Christian way, one of the damnable things that has been taught in churches is that you can accept Jesus as Savior and not as Lord. This verse of Scripture says you can't do that. That salvation is through the gospel, he says. But and then verse whatever it was there, what is it? Verse 13, he says, but it's also with this whole thing called sanctification of the Spirit in your life. And so what I want to write for you today is this concept, and I'm not going to do a whole lot. I'm doing a little bit different than I normally do. But justification is all about it, the imputed righteousness of God. So I have been saved. Some of you may have heard it. But justification is all about God giving us our righteousness because he forgave us of our sins on the cross and being raised from the dead so that we can have a right relationship with him. All right? Sanctification is about the practical righteousness . All right, remember the verse of Scripture where Paul said, work out your salvation with what? Fear and trembling. All right? So this is the working out part. So justification means I have been saved. Sanctification is I am being saved. And things are being worked out are in my life, which reflects, that's a crazy F, but let me do it again. This thing wiggles. Which reflects the fact that I'm dipping into this savings account that I have. This is all together. Then the last one is this, is glorification. Glorification is I will be saved. And it has to do with, guess what? Your body. All right? The last thing that you're going to get, and I want you to remember this concept in the terms of a journey. All right? It is not an event at an altar. It's not a prayer that you pray in a given point of time. The prayer begins it, but it's a journey. So justification, I have been saved. All my sins are forgiven. Sanctification, I am being saved. All right? I'm putting on the righteousness that God gave me. Glorification is I will be saved. The last thing that you're going to get that's going to get saved in your life is this. I got some scriptures for you if you like them. I think I do. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says that our outward man is perishing. Anybody want to argue with that point? You think your outward man is perishing? I go to the doctor a couple of times a year just so that they can charge me hundreds of dollars and tell me I'm doing pretty good, but check all my cholesterol and all these other kinds and get my blood drawn and all this, you know. You know why? Because I'm getting old. Now, you know, I saw a post the other day. I said, the problem with me is that I'm getting old, but I on the inside, I'm still 18. I think I can do anything, you know, and I can't. And then, of course, you can look at Romans 8, 23, and I'll read that to you just to put it in context. Romans 8:23, he says this. He's talking about suffering and things of that nature, and he says, not in verse 20:23, he says, and not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit. Now, what is the first fruits? This is it right here. This is where it came in, all right? Who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, all right? We groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, that is, the redemption of our bodies. So the last thing that you will, in this journey of salvation, the last thing that's going to complete the journey is you get a brand new body. In Corinthians, whatever it is, 12, 13, or 14, he talks about that the mortal, and we do this at funerals, you know, those of us of the cloth, you tend to read this at the graveside, that this mortal must put on immortality. And that's why he says that when we're raised again, we'll have a brand new body. And it's going to be like Jesus' body. Personally, that's what I believe. You walk through walls and all kind of cool stuff that you can do with his bodies. And at that point, this journey will be complete. And that's why Paul says, we will forever be with the Lord. We'll be like, is that my phone? I forgot to turn it off. Are you getting this? Now, in other scriptures, you'll see where Paul says, you know, beware of the flesh. Well, guess where this is your spirit. This is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And this, obviously, is your body. All right? I want you to get this. Because if you don't get this, you're going to walk around crazy. All right? You're brand new. You got a new you inside of you. In salvation, you are awakened to the rim of eternity again. Your ability to commune with God was awakened. It's like you became these huge, huge ears that cry out, Abba, Father. And so you became new. Here, in this area of sanctification or practical righteousness, I like to put it this way. You're introducing yourself to the rest of you. Your spirit is introducing yourself to your thinking process. Your spirit is introducing yourself to your emotions. Your spirit is introducing yourself to your ability to choose. That's why it talks about in the scripture. Choose who you're going to worship. All right? And then, of course, here is the body. Now, in Romans, this has been trained by sin. You were born in sin. You were steeped in sin. Have you ever had to teach your children or your grandkids to be selfish? My son calls me. We had a great conversation. Nancy was on call last week. And he called me up and he said, Dad, I just want you to know I really believe in the Adamic nature. Yeah, that was Luke. He said, I said, oh, really? He said, that Gemma, let me tell you something. She's got a temper. If Eva comes over and tries to get something to her, she's like a wildcat. Just this thing materializes out of nowhere. And I was just laughing because, you know, Luke, his bachelor's was in New Testament literature or something like that. And he said, I just want you to know, I believe in the Adamic nature. You know? See, this is where that nature is. Now, if you'll notice in Romans 12, I hope this is okay with you, because to me, if we don't get this, this helps you to understand where the warfare is. All right? Look what it says. We quote Romans 12, and it's good that we quote it, but we don't quote it right. He says, Romans 12, it says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your" what? "Bodies." Now, I'm going to give you a word. Have I already said this? The word is concomitantly. That when you deal with Bible teachings, I'm sorry, sometimes you just have to use words that you've never heard before, but it means occurring at the same time. You see, all of this occurs at the same time. Your spirit, your mind, your will, and emotions, your body. You can't talk about one without talking about the other. I can't talk about my body without talking about my mind and speaking. Your mind, your brain, is a part of your body. Now, someone says, "Well, where are your spirit?" I don't know where my spirit is. You know, he's just in me. He takes up residence in me. All right? But I know that my spirit is who I am. That's what I'm all about. And my spirit and God's spirit is affecting my mind, my will, and my emotions. In other words, this imputed new identity is taking over this part of my life. And that's where the practicality of it all begins to come to reality. And my life begins to truly reflect the glory of God on planet Earth, because I start thinking like Him. Now, you remember the parables of Jesus? He said, the kingdom of God is like what? A little leaven. And what does it do? It affects the whole lump. This is the lump that's being affected. And eventually, this is going to be affected, because I'm going to be given a brand new one. That is compatible with the eternity that's inside of me already. Am I making sense here? Y'all getting this? And so, this is where, you remember that good old term? Flesh. All right? This is where the flesh is. That's why you see in Galatians chapter 5, what was it saying in Galatians chapter 5? The flesh wars against what? The spirit. And the spirit does what? Wars against what? The flesh. And so that's why he says in Romans chapter 8, what? Yield, or King James says, to present your members. Now, what are your members? Here. This is your members. Mind, will, and emotion. Those are your members. And your body, by the way. It's one of the reasons why I work out. I want to try to stay as strong as I can for as long as I can. He said, present these parts of yours as instruments of what? Righteousness. Why? Because you are righteous. When I got this down, when I finally got this down in my heart and my mind, it was like, dear God, it makes sense now. A lot of the fog just went apart. And I began to be able to rule myself more by my spirit than by these other things. My flesh, my mind, will, and emotions is being, a computer. I'm hitting the delete button. And as I do, my spirit's typing in the stuff from this and the reality of being this righteousness being a part of who I truly am. And that's why I said to you, I have personally, I'm Wesleyan in my thought, and I'm also Jacob Arminius as opposed to Luther and all those guys. I believe in the Reformation, don't get me wrong, but I'm to a point in my own thinking where this whole concept, this is where the partnering with God is. I'm going to partner with God. I'm going to take what's in my spirit and partner with God in my mind, will, and emotion. One of the reasons why you don't pray for people is sick, because it's not normal. One of the reasons why you don't discern demons, because it's not normal. So God is creating a new normal in me. And it's from not the earth side. It's from a heavenly perspective that is invading me. And every day I'm being transformed. It says this, what? That you present your bodies wholly acceptable to God as a living sacrifice, which is your spiritual service, reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind, that you may be what? Be able to discern and to approve what is good and acceptable, the perfect will of God. Is this starting to click to you? You see, this mind contains my will and my emotions. That's why I told you a while back, you don't have emotions for no reason. Behind every emotion, there's a support system, a belief that holds it up. So if you're constantly losing your temper, there's something under there that says, nobody really loves me. People don't accept me. And so you react to it. And so he says, present your mind. First of all, he says what? Present this. Now, why would he say your body? Because you can't talk about one without it including the others. You talk about your body, your spirit's involved. You talk about your body, your mind, will, and emotions are involved. And then he says, renew your thinking. I hope this is making sense to you. Because this is where practical righteousness hits the road. This is where it's proved out in my life. And I begin, as Paul says, I really begin to think like God. That's why he says we have the mind of Christ. We have this mind. And that's a heavy statement. You can say that in some religious circles, and they'll think you're a heretic. How dare you? How dare you say that? God is high above the earth, and his thoughts are higher than my thoughts. To which you just simply add, after they conclude their argument, and he lives inside of me. And so this, I want you to get this, because this is where the practical expression of who God is lived out in our life. If we just had this, and it didn't affect these other areas of our life, I think that's heretical. Because those people who say, hey, you can accept Jesus as your Savior and go to heaven, oh, and by the way, there's a second choice. You can accept him as love, as Lord, then you get these other things. Your mind's affected, and your will's affected, and your emotions can be affected too. He can truly be your Lord. I'm telling you. 2 Thessalonians 2 said, this salvation came by the gospel message and by the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. And so it's a journey. It's not an event. It starts with an event. But from that point forward, you have been saved, you are being saved, and one day you will be saved. Because you'll get a brand new body. And I assume instead of blood flowing through us, it'll be spirit flowing through us. And whatever Jesus' new body was like, which is the only thing that we have, is the account in Scripture. I'm assuming, on biblical grounds, it's what our new bodies look like as well. Right? Now, this is where spiritual warfare comes in. The whole reason why, in my opinion, he wrote this. Now, granted, he was in prison, and he was looking at a guard, a Roman centurion, and he got the metaphor from him. But if Paul was one of the deepest thinkers that we have in Scripture. I mean, he just didn't, you know... Some people tell me about that inspiration of the Scriptures. Paul kind of went into this zombie type of state, and automatic writing just started happening as he wrote. You know, that is so far from the truth. There was this partnering with God and the Spirit And he used the personality that Paul had in his history of being zealous for the law. All that came to the crescendo when he finally saw the righteousness of God. He says it's based upon the law and the prophet, but it doesn't stop there. It turns on it because no one can be justified by keeping the law. It's a free gift. I'm going to stop. That's really the introduction. Because the next question that I have for you, let me just give it to you, is that what does this practical righteousness really look like for us? Individually and then corporately. Now fortunately, you know, we have it in the Word, and I guess I'll share this with you next week, I suppose. And unless you just write me a note and say, don't share it with me. I may share it anyway, but because this stuff floats my boat, man. I'm telling you, right belief brings release from condemnation and guilt. When you get this down in your heart and in your thinking, things change. But it has to start here. My sins are forgiven. In this divine exchange, he took all the wretchedness of my soul. And my spirit, my sin, the things I did, he took it and he bore it on the tree. He took the penalty and he took the wrath. He was sovereign and he was the judge all at the same time. And then he said, because of Christ, I'm giving you everything. And the reason he did that is because he loves us. He has constantly told us that. He loves us. No one coerced him into doing that. He would have been just as just to say, you guys are going to hell. I'm just putting it in Southern vernacular. And there would have been nothing unjust about that. Because what? The soul that sins, it shall die. See, that's the beauty of this salvation. We didn't get what we deserved. We got what we didn't deserve. We got grace and mercy and forgiveness. And not only that, we became someone that we never was before. And so that from this point forward, we're basically understanding who we are. This grows every day of our lives. Not because he's just given it to us piecemeal, but because of our relationship with him, we keep having these discoveries. Whew. What God has done for me. God is so good. God sustains me. God answered my prayer. God hears me. God likes me. Yes, Mike. God never ceases. That he never ceases to be a gentleman. All right, he will not. There's very few cases in Scripture where he'll overrule you. Now he does. There's cases in Scripture where he has sovereignly stepped in and saying, "I'm going to take complete control of the situation and get the thing done." All right. So I believe in that. What Psalms 115, where the heavens are the Lord's. But the earth he has given to the sons of men. And so that's where we learn to have dominion. So it's I didn't get into this. I'll do it next week. Because these gifts that he gives, there's one calling. Lots of gifts. And he says the gifts and the calling the plural and the singular. Where's that? Romans? I wrote it in my notes. He said, are irrevocable. In other words, he doesn't give them and then take them back. I had a police officer. I like going out training dogs, training my dogs with the police dogs. And he came up to me. Nice guy, Larry, big old guy, you know. I'm glad he's my friend. And he works in a different county. And he came up to me. He said, man, I used to be a youth pastor. He said, then I went in the Army. And then I lost all of it. You know, he's being funny and whatnot. And I just looked at him after he got done. I said, no, you didn't. He got real serious. What do you mean? I said, gifts and calling to God or without repentance. You want to come to church with me? He looked at me, turned around, walked off. You know what happened? He wasn't mad at me. You know what happened? The Spirit of God hit him. It's kind of like something witnessed inside of him when I said those simple words. And it wasn't, you know, all I was doing was quoting Scripture to him. I didn't tell him I was quoting Scripture. Now, you may be sitting there and going, oh, I know all this stuff, and blah, blah, blah. It's the difference when I know this intellectually and when I know this because I experience it. This happens every day. Is there any reason why God says, listen, pray, meditate on who I am, meditate on my word? You know why he wants you to do that? So you can see the balance of your bank account. This is coming. This is guaranteed. Now, let me conclude with this. I see this as a journey. The Reformed thinkers, good old Luther and Calvin, they say that once you do this, you're forever saved, and no matter what you do afterwards, you'll always go to heaven. I say, and I can show you through Scripture, that this is not an act. It's not a moment in time where I say a prayer and get dunked in some water. That this is a journey. And if I don't finish the journey, I don't get to the conclusion. So that means I need to keep my heart right before God throughout my life so that the end, I guess I should write this down. Is there when I cross the Jordan. Now, can anything touch me? Can anything snatch me from God's hand? No. But I can do it. I can muck it up. And ask me how I know. I can flat muck it up. Now, I'm letting my theological flag, I'm flying here. So you don't have to agree with me. That's fine. I'll just pray for you. So it's the journey that's involved, and that this is why the warfare of Ephesians chapter 6 is so very important, that we identify the issues that we've got to deal with. Principalities and powers, mindsets. Paul calls about strongholds. That's a mindset that is contrary to the Word of God and the kingdom of God. There is no reason for you to keep losing your temper. There is no reason for you to be eat up with lust. There is no reason for you to be hateful. And so that's why I said earlier, how is this working out in my life? The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. That's what flows from there. Now, granted, it may be a trickle, but over time, guess what's going to happen? It's going to become a brook, it's going to become a stream, and then eventually it'll be a river. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Cause the blind to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captive free. I've got a river of life. You know what that song's based on? Isaiah 61. The very calling of Jesus himself. He opened the book and read it at the beginning of his ministry. And it's our calling too. It is such a great adventure and a privilege to walk with him in this journey. Okay, maybe I should say any questions. Everybody understands all this, right? Meditate on this, if you will. If I could command you something, I would command that you meditate on all scriptures to justification, all scriptures on sanctification, and all scriptures on glorification. And if we could just get those scriptures down, it would radically alter us from week to week. Okay. How are you doing? Are you working out your salvation with fear and trembling? Is the fear of the Lord, right? It's the fear of the Lord that directs thee. Because you know his goodness and you know his love. That's what the fear of the Lord is grounded in. Not because he's going to zap you and send you to hell. Even though that's not a bad reason to get saved. How are you doing, guys? I mean, seriously. Matter of fact, let's just pray. Let's pray real quick. I'm going to finish. Thank you, Lord. You know, in America, I love my country. I every time I fly out to another country and I come back, I'm so very grateful for the land that I live in. And I realize we got problems. Dear God, that we have problems. And it looks like that, it's kind of unraveling before our very eyes. But I'm here to tell you yet again, the American dream is not necessarily the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the kingdom of God. And the church is not the kingdom of God. The church operates in the kingdom of God. But I'm so concerned as American Christians of that concept that I called redemption lift. That we started off good, humbling ourselves and repenting of our sins, but because it's ironic that the blessings of God are so good that if you're not careful, you'll forget about the journey. And you just want to part right there and just enjoy all the bounty, not forgetting that the bounty is there for the purpose of the journey. So have you forgotten that? That the bounty, the blessings that we have as American Christians, that they're there for the journey and not simply to be squandered on ourselves. It's one of the reasons I'm excited about the Koreans, North Koreans coming in, because they're going to give us a different perspective on things. Pray that you come ready to receive when they share their testimony, the things that they've experienced and what they've walked through. So Lord, we just, in this holy moment, we just stop and we pause. You come. You have your way. In your love, reveal your goodness to us. Show us the greatness of your power. Deliver us from anything that blocks the journey, this journey of salvation, that includes justification, sanctification, Lord. mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Can you say amen? Thank you for your attention today. I appreciate you guys. So, hug somebody before you leave.